Now, every year when they announce the Nobel Peace Prize, people at NPR ask the same question. How do they keep overlooking our political editor, Ken Rudin? Ken's consolation prize is that he is in our studios to talk about the upcoming election once again. Ken, good morning.
Thank you, I think.
And he's joined by NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. And Mara, good morning to you.
Thank you. I'm his devoted factotum.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Control of Congress is at stake here. And let's start with President Bush's appearance last night at a fundraiser for House Speaker Dennis Hastert. And we have some tape from that event.
Speaker Denny Hastert has a long record of accomplishment. You know, he's not one of these Washington politicians who spews a lot of hot air. He just gets the job done.
So the president's supporting his embattled Speaker of the House of Representatives, who's in trouble over his handling of the Mark Foley scandal. And Ken, let's start with you. Why would the president go out of his way to be seen with somebody who's in so much trouble?
Well, Steve, I think one reason is that nobody else seems to want to.
So somebody has to.
Speaker Hastert has been disinvited from many Republican fundraisers because of his role, real or not, perceived or not, in the Mark Foley scandal. But you know what? This whole thing may be very well moot because on November 7th, the Democrats could very well take control of Congress. And if that's the case, Speaker Hastert will no longer be Speaker Hastert. And even if the Republicans do retain it, there's a lot of disaffection with what's going on with the Republicans, with their campaign tactics, and win or lose, Hastert may be out as leader.
Yeah, you know, there's something else that the president can do. Even now, even with his approval ratings down, he can raise a lot of money. And he raised $1.1 million last night for two House candidates. And that shows you what the president, what the bully pulpit of the White House can do. And, you know, the president has been successful in this campaign at framing the debate at certain moments. He can control events. He can use the bully pulpit. You know, somebody said to me it's like the difference between piloting a plane and flying a hang glider. The president has his hand on the controls. The Democrats are more subject to the winds. And the problem is that the Democrats have had a lot of external events, like the Foley scandal, like Iraq violence, to take advantage of. The question is, can the president pilot the plane again and reframe this debate in these last 3-4 weeks.
Can the president also say, look, I'm loyal. Dennis Hastert's a Republican. We Republicans have to stick together and we need to keep Congress in the control
of Republicans. Sure, it's a morale booster for Republicans.
Now, let's talk about a couple of Senate races here. Ken is just back from Tennessee. What did you see?
Well, what I did see is that this is a seat that Majority Leader Bill Frist is giving up ostensibly to run for the presidency. And this is thought to be a Republican state with a Republican likely to win. Democrats haven't won it since Al Gore left the Senate back in 1992. But the Republican nominee, two things. The Republican nominee, Bob Corker, is not running an effective campaign. He seems to be off his stride. And the real surprising thing is Congressman Harold Ford Jr., African-American from Memphis, Tennessee, is really bowling over a lot of voters. He's talking a lot about his faith. He's a very centrist kind of Democrat, not one of those Nancy Pelosi liberals that certainly wouldn't sell well in Tennessee. And it's very interesting. One, voters are not talking about race, and you think, given the fact that no black has ever been elected to the South from to the Senate from the South in history, you think this would be some a major thing, but they're not
in
talking.
In recent history, anyway.
Since Reconstruction,
right, which Mara remembers because she covered that. But then two, and the fact is that the Republicans seem to be off their game. It's a national problem for the Republicans, but it's certainly true in Tennessee as well.
What is Harold Ford saying that gets through to people, if anything?
Well, most of it is just he's just very, you know, very strong on faith. He's really disassociated. He's talked about the fact that he can reach across party lines and talk to Republicans, but at the same time, he's saying that Bob Corker, the former mayor of Chattanooga, the Republican nominee, is a rubber stamp of President Bush, and he will not be that.
Are Democrats talking much about the war when they campaign in the South?
I've noticed that they absolutely have. We can talk about Mark Foley to death. We can talk about North Korea, but the war has been an issue from day one. And ultimately, what determines who controls Congress, House and Senate, will be the war in Iraq.
Mara Liasson's just back from Rhode Island, where there's a Republican running. Mara, you had another point.
I'm just about to go to Rhode Island. Yes,
all right. You're heading to Rhode Island. You've been paying attention to that race. We've got a Republican trying to keep his job. How big a factor is the war in Iraq there?
Well, the war is a factor everywhere, and it certainly is a factor in Rhode Island. Rhode Island is the bluest state where there is a Republican incumbent running. This was Gore's best state in 2000, Kerry's second best state. Link Chafee, who's the Republican incumbent there, is the most liberal Republican in the Senate, so liberal that he didn't even vote for George Bush for re-election. He wrote in the name of his father. And his Democratic opponent, Sheldon Whitehouse, believe it or not, that is the guy's name, is running a very unusual race on an unusual issue, which is he's making partisan control of the Senate the issue. In other words, he's saying, you may like Link Chafee, and certainly Chafee fits the profile of this liberal state, but he's a vote for Mitch McConnell. He's going to vote for majority control of the Senate, which is an abstract concept, something that voters usually don't pay attention to. But the betting on the Democratic side is this is a small enough state. People really do understand this. Chafee, on the other hand, is making his personal bond with voters there. His personality, the fact that voters know him and know his family. He took over the seat that his father held. So this race is really going to be a test of how strong that anti-Republican wave is versus the power of an individual candidate.
Very briefly, as best you two can determine, are voters thinking about their local congressman or senator, or are they thinking about whether their vote is going to determine control of Congress this year?
Well, you can't. Well, I think in Rhode Island, people think that Democrats, especially in a Democratic state like that, they're very highly educated about what their vote means in terms of partisan control.
I was in Ohio earlier this week, and even though that there are a lot of popular Republicans, voters are saying, look, the situation in Washington is awful, and somehow somebody's going to have to pay. It's going to be my Republican nominees.
Okay, NPR political editor Ken Rudin, thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.
And NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson, good to talk with you again.
Thank you.
Thank you both for coming in this morning, giving us the latest update on the election coming up less than a month away. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.